So this morning, as we look forward to this week of our missions conference and a great week with Tim and Hannah, I want us to take a look at what our role needs to be as a church as we're supporting missionaries like them. We have a long history of being a church that sees the importance of sending missionaries to unreached places, places where there's spiritual darkness, where the light of Christ hasn't been kind of shining brightly. And we have a passion to send and support missionaries to go out and spread the hope of Christ to those who have never heard and have no access to the gospel. And that needs to continue. That's a huge calling that Christ has on the local church. We're sending missionaries to places that are very hard to reach. We're sending them to places that are often dangerous, where missionaries face hostility. As God raises up people from our local churches, some from East Lincoln and other churches in our area, and calls them to go into these places, we need to support them. We need to get behind them. And this morning we're going to look at how to do that well and in a way that's effective. Last year for the fall conference, we had Mike and Alyssa Brill. Many of you remember Mike and Alyssa. Since then, they've decided to not go back. Okay, and I don't know the details, but in some way the difficulty and the struggles of being a missionary was a major factor in their decision. It's a reality. I've known different people that I went to school with that started in the mission field and then haven't gone back. A lot of difficulty there. Gary Sandman was here just a few weeks ago. I think it was in July. And as he was here, I know he spoke with many of you and then he shared in the service. And if you know him, you know how difficult it is to continue to do what he does. If you think about it, when people go into the mission field, they're leaving their home, they're leaving their family, they're going for many years, they're trying to settle in a foreign culture, they're trying to learn a new language, they're trying to learn new customs, it's all new to them, and there's often resistance and danger because of the gospel that they're wanting to share, and people who don't want them to share that. We also have heightened spiritual warfare on the mission field. Satan is active. He does not want the light of Christ coming into the places where he has a stronghold. And so it can be very difficult. It's very hard. And yet, cross-cultural missions is critically important for completing the Great Commission, what Christ has called us to do. And Christ continues to call people personally to go and make disciples. He will continue to call people from our very own church family. And that can and will be some of you, some of our children. That will continue until Christ comes back. He puts a passion and a burden in people's hearts for going to those places to spread the gospel. And we, as a supporting church and a sending church, have a very important role to play in sending and supporting them, and today we're going to look at what that is. I want to show you pictures of those who we are currently supporting as missionaries. So these are our friends. Hopefully you know all of them. Most of them were part of our community or are still part of our community. So the first one looks very familiar. Alice is thankfully with us right here this morning. Serves obviously in Polk County with CEF. The next is Rod and Marty. They were here just last week, and they're still in the area. So Rod and Marty are serving in Texas and Mexico with Christian Carpentry Ministry. The next is Gary and Minnie Sandman. They were just here in July. They serve in Los Canelos, Mexico, and other villages with Feed My Lambs International. Bob and Molly Midget are serving in Bordeaux, France with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Ralph and Ellen Shepherd serving in Guadalajara, Mexico with TEAM. And then Aaron and Sarah Emerson who are serving in Orlando, Florida with CREW. All right, so you see their pictures here. We have their pictures up on the wall. There are other missionaries that we know and some of you support individually, but these are the ones that we are supporting kind of on a monthly basis, trying to bring before you with updates, and hopefully they're becoming very familiar to you and are your friends. They're our people. These are those who are following Christ's call in their heart to go into these hard places. Now, what can we do to support and encourage them is the question this morning as we look forward to Tim and Hannah coming. This morning, we're going to look at what one church did to support the Apostle Paul and his missionary efforts, the church in Philippi. As you look at the history of that church, you'll see, you can read different portions in the book of Acts, how Paul is the one who planted the church there, and he also returned on various occasions to encourage them and to continue teaching them. He was there to encourage them, and several years later, he wrote a letter, which is known as Philippians. He wrote to encourage them in their faith. But as you read through this letter, you'll see that it wasn't just Paul who was encouraging them. You see very clearly it was they who were encouraging Paul very much. They encouraged Paul incredibly. And as you look through the book of Philippians, you're going to see, and we're going to look at this morning, four things that they did to make a huge difference. And so I want us to learn from what they did, learn about what they did, and then I want to challenge us and challenge myself, each one of us, to put into practice those same kind of things for at least one missionary in your life. So first of all, I want us to see, before we get into the four things that they did, I want us to see how much it meant to Paul that they were supporting him. And he writes about that in the very beginning of the letter, in the first chapter, verses 3 through 5. So if you would follow along this morning in your Bible, we are going to be touching on different chapters. It's the whole book is only four chapters long, but we're going to be looking, kind of working our way through and looking at different parts of each chapter about how they were partnering with Paul. So the first part I want us to see is verses 3 through 5. This is what he says. He says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Okay, as you read through this book, one of the striking characteristics is the affection and love that Paul has for this church family in Philippi. And this is one of the many places that he expresses that. So you can see his joy and his gratitude for them. You can see that he was filled with joy and thankfulness as he thought about them and prayed for them. Why did he feel that way? You see in verse 5 here that he wrote, "Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." So as he was filled with thankfulness for them, he's looking back to when he first went to them and was preaching the gospel, and they were hearing, they were receiving, they were believing the gospel, and it continued on then to the point where they were partnering with him in promoting and spreading it. The word for partnership there is koinonia, which I looked up, and it means participation, sharing in, or fellowship. And so the Philippians had joined together. They were together with Paul in the gospel, partners with Paul by receiving and believing it, but then also working with him to promote and spread the gospel. And he was greatly encouraged by their partnership with him. So what did that partnership look like? Let's look at these four things. As you read through this letter, you come across some statements that Paul makes that show you what was going on in his friendship or partnership with this church. And the first is in the middle of chapter 1. So when Paul was writing this letter, he was actually, he had been in prison for about almost 5 years by this point. And currently, he moved to different places. Currently, at this point, he was in prison in Rome. He was under house arrest. He was chained to a guard. He's in kind of year 4 and 5 of his imprisonment. He was awaiting trial before the emperor, which at that time was Emperor Nero. And so at that point in his life, he was in danger. He didn't know what was going to happen when he stood before Nero, because Nero had the power to basically snap the fingers and kill him or torture him, okay? And so he's waiting for that. It's a high-pressure situation. Would he give up? Okay, under that intensive pressure, Paul was a real human being. Okay, we look up to him so much, but when he faced pressure, he felt what we feel. Okay, would he give up? Would he forsake Christ and cave in because of fear? Paul was confident that he wouldn't, and he gives a couple of reasons in verses 18 through 20 of chapter 1. Here's what he says, the second half of verse 18 through 20. He says, "Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage and now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." Okay? Paul's a real person. And so as he's there under house arrest and he's waiting to stand before Nero, he says that he's confident that whatever happened, whether he lived or whether he died, whether he was tortured or released, he would honor Christ. Okay? And he was confident in that. What gave him such confidence that he would honor Christ in life or in death, in fearful and uncertain circumstances? He says in verse 19, he says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." So he knew that the Christians in Philippi were praying for him. And he knew that God would use those prayers to encourage him, to hold him up, to give him the help that he needed to stand firm. He knew that his faith would not fail no matter what kind of danger and pressure he felt. He would not be shaken, that he would honor Christ no matter what happened. How valuable do you think your prayers are, our collective prayers are, to the missionaries that we support? Okay, think about it. How valuable are those prayers? Gary Sandman, many of you have gotten to know him personally in the last couple of years, and some of you have known him for years before that. He faces the possibility of kidnapping and death every day. When he was here, I met with him, and he said the hardest thing is knowing that he's not the one that's going to be first. It's going to be his granddaughter or his wife. Okay, and he lives with that. Every day. And if you're friends with him, you know he lives with that every day and other dangers. How valuable do you think your prayers are to him? How valuable do you think our prayers were to Bob and Molly Midget with the year that they just had? If you were able to kind of track with us as we brought different updates, they spent weeks in the hospital with a premature baby. Okay, weeks. After that, they faced one serious illness after another in their family. On two occasions, Bob had to give mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to his infant son, or he would have died. Okay, when I read part of his letter this summer, and you could just tell, exhausted. How valuable are our prayers to Bob and Molly? When we pray, God moves, okay? When we pray, the Spirit of Jesus brings help to the missionaries that we are praying for, and he gives them whatever they need in those situations, okay? When we pray, and when Gary and Bob and the other missionaries that we support know that we're praying for them, as Paul knew that the Philippian church was praying for him, it encourages them to know that they're not standing alone, but that we are there with them. We're in the spiritual battle with them, fighting for them through our prayers, and it is extremely important. I encourage you to pray for missionaries. Okay, I have up here an example of a photo album that stands up like this. I brought this. It usually sits back there, but Randy and Mary have one of these on their kitchen counter with pictures of member to be praying each day for one of our missionaries or other missionaries that God has put on their hearts. That maybe you could do something like that. Okay, Alice talked about a regular reminder or newsletter pretty much every missionary that we support has one of those. You can sign up to be on their email or their mailing list, and you can get up-to-date information. One of the things that I've started to do probably in the last, I don't know how many years, but last few years, is I've started to personally just email Bob Midget. And I ask him, how are you guys doing? Try to do it every month to check in with him, give him a little bit of update, you know, how things are going here in Amory, but then to let him know we're praying for him. You know, I'll tell him, hey, we're going to bring you before the congregation next week. What do you need prayer for? Okay. You can do that too. All of these missionaries have an email address. You can email them. You can be in personal contact with them. And I encourage you to do that for the purpose of prayer and to let them know that you are praying for them. Your prayers make a big difference. They move the hand of God and they lift up those who you're praying for. Okay, so that's the first way that there was a partnership between Paul and this church in Philippi. Another way that the Philippians partnered with him can be seen in chapter 2. So let's look at verses 19 through 24. I kind of scanned this whole letter looking, because I knew how close Paul was with these people, looking for ways that they were partnering together. Here's another way, starting at verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Okay, Timothy was a partner of Paul's, an associate, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. What I want us to see, there's more in this passage, but what I want us to see here is the importance of hosting missionaries. Okay, he was going to send Timothy, and then he was hoping himself to go. These verses show us the importance of hosting missionaries and how encouraging that is to them. The Philippians had hosted Paul several times throughout the time, you know, from initially when Paul planted the church, but afterwards when he came back, they hosted him. We see here he was going to send Timothy to them, that he himself was planning to come. Those times can be a great encouragement for everyone, not just the missionaries, but for the local church as well. By actually hosting a missionary in our church or in our homes, we're able in those times to spend extra time with them and form bonds of friendship that can be very encouraging in many ways. And that's really how my friendship with Bob Midget started, is we were able to host him in our home that week while he was here on that fall conference, and he stayed in our house. We were able to spend more time together, and it was wonderful because by the end of the week, he was able to share more deeply and personally about what some of the things they were facing that he probably couldn't share publicly at the different conference events. And we were able to pray for them, and that's when I started sending the regular monthly emails. Okay, by hosting a missionary, you can see they're very real people. Sometimes we put pastors and missionaries up on pedestal. They're very real people. I know a lot of pastors and missionaries. There's weakness, there's struggles, there's needs. We need friends, okay? You can be a friend to a missionary and support them in that way. So this week, we have the opportunity to, we have Tim and Hannah coming here, and Randy and Mary are going to host them in their home. That works out really well, but you have the opportunity to host them for a meal in your home. And so I encourage you to sign up before you leave today, to sign up to host them in your home, or you can take them out if you need to, but host them for a meal. Let's fill up that list. I think there's a lot of spaces left. If you're able to do that this week and your schedule permits, take advantage of that. Let's look at this time as an opportunity to just overwhelm them with blessing and support by getting to know them. And if the Lord so moves as you get to know them and he leads you to continue in an ongoing friendship, you can start emailing them or whatever. You can sign up for their prayer letter that I'm sure they're going to have a sign up so that it becomes more personal for you. We're also hosting Tim and Hannah in general as a church. So we're hosting them for this conference and by having them speak at different events. And I want to encourage you to try to take time to make time to come for some of the conference events. I know that we have busy lives, but like we have a brief window to encourage Tim and Hannah. You don't know what they've been through in this last year or the last several months, okay? But you can assume that it's been difficult because it pretty much always is. And you have the opportunity to encourage them by just coming and participating in these events. All the details are in the bulletin and newsletter. And even though it's easy to get busy doing our own thing and kind of miss the whole week of events and just show up on Sunday and like, oh, whoops, I encourage you not to do that. Take the opportunity for these days to show love and support, and let's just overwhelm them with blessing as they spend this week with us. Okay? So that's the second way to partner. The third way the Philippians partnered with Paul is in the verses just following those. In verses 25 through 30, let's read those. Paul writes this, "I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and this is key, your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me." Where was Epaphroditus from? Okay, Paul talks about him like he's super close companion, and you could get the impression that he was traveling around. No, he was from Philippi. Okay, he was from Philippi. He was sent by them. What I'm seeing here, he was sent by them on a short-term missions trip to minister to the Apostle Paul. He describes him in verse 25, your messenger and minister to my need. So they sent Epaphroditus to him, and you can see through what Paul writes how important that was to him, how closely they bonded, how deep that fellowship was, that when Epaphroditus got sick and was near the point of death, Paul was like, man, if he would have died, I would have had sorrow upon sorrow because that man meant so much to him. Okay? You can be that man to another missionary. You can be that woman. You can be that friend. We can be that kind of church that sends people over to encourage and support and minister alongside and help missionaries. One of the things that we did recently was sent a team of guys down to Gary Sandman. And when Gary came back here and I met with him, he was so blessed by that week, by those guys. He was so blessed by the work that was done, and he was so blessed by the fellowship and the relationships that were built. And I know that those of you who went were blessed as much as he was as well, okay? It's extremely important, if done well, because you can do it poorly as well, but if done well, short-term missions trips can be a huge encouragement for the missionaries that we support. And so I encourage you to listen to the Lord's leading in your heart. Not all of us are going to be able to go, but if the Lord leads you, usually every year we have an opportunity for you to go on a short-term missions trip. And there's other opportunities even beyond that, that the church can get behind and support you to go. I encourage you to follow the Lord's leading in that area. Because when you go, and when you encourage and when you come alongside and help, it's a huge encouragement to missionaries. Okay, that's the third. Now, the fourth and final way the Philippians partnered with Paul is found in chapter 4. So skip up to verse 4. Look at verses 15 through 20. This one's really, really clear, really straightforward. Here's what Paul says. "And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So very clear here, you can see that Paul was deeply blessed by the financial support that he received from the Philippian church, and he talks about at least three different, so multiple different occasions. The money that was given actually freed up Paul to be able to engage in more ministry. He didn't have to make tents, which is kind of what he did as a side business, and in some places he had to do that in addition to ministry in order to meet his needs. But the Philippian church was sending him probably finances to be so that he could focus more on ministry, and there was spiritual fruit, a spiritual harvest because of that. And you can see if you look at verse 17 that the gift that they gave that resulted in fruit was actually to their credit. Okay, so the fruit that came as Paul was ministering in the gospel, that fruit, people coming to know Christ, people being built up in the faith, that was credited back to the ones who supported Paul so that he was freed up to be able to go and do that. Okay, it's a chain that continues all the way up to the fruit. So you may not be called to go to a foreign place to preach the gospel, but when you support those who do, you play a vital role in expanding Christ's kingdom. So the question for each of us is, are you giving financial support to any missionaries? I encourage you to start giving to the missionaries that God lays on your heart. There are many opportunities. You may not think that you have enough to give. Some of your finances are really tight, but I encourage you that even if it's only a small amount, it makes a significant difference because it's not just the amount that's given, it's the heart that's in it, okay? It's about the heart. It connects you, a gift of any amount connects you with that person in that ministry and with the fruit of that missionary that you're supporting. And so I encourage you to begin to give if you're not giving already. There are many ways to give. It can be a one-time donation. We'll bring those before you. Maybe a love offering. We're going to have the opportunity to do that with Tim and Hannah this week. Or it might be recurring monthly gifts. And I highly encourage you to start doing that in particular, because those one-time gifts are a huge blessing for whatever particular need is there at the moment. But the monthly support is the way that most missionaries are funded for the long haul. So you can give to the Great Commission Fund. The faith promise cards are in the pews, probably in front of you. If you have never considered doing that, that goes to support missionaries like Bob and Molly, like Tim and Hannah. You can either just give to the Great Commission Fund, or you can also give to specific missionaries through that. I encourage you to prayerfully consider doing that. Also, every missionary that we support, Alice mentioned it this morning, she is still raising funds to build up her support base. Every missionary that we support has a safe and trustworthy way that you can give, and I encourage you to start doing that today. So as you look at this letter and all of these ways that there was a partnership, all of these things were a tremendous support and encouragement to the Apostle Paul. There were the prayers of the Philippians that encouraged him. There was their hospitality or hosting him and Timothy, their short-term missions team, who at that point was Epaphroditus, and their financial assistance. And these are all ways that we can stand behind and support the missionaries that we know and love, and they need it. Okay, they need our support. They need your support. The mission field is uniquely difficult, and we need to do our part and continue to do our part as a sending church that partners in the gospel. One of the most famous missionaries was a man named William Carey, who spent decades doing missions work to the Hindus in India. And so it was a dark and it was a dangerous work. And before he went, he told one of his friends, whose name was Andrew Fuller, he said this. Get this picture. There is an actual picture up here. I will go down into the pit if you will hold the ropes. That's our job. Some of us may go down into the pit, but all of us need to hold the rope. Hold the rope. That's what we do in these different ways. And I want to show you these pictures again. Okay? Alice Brown, Rod and Marty, Gary and Minnie, Bob and Molly, Ralph and Ellen, Aaron and Sarah. You know, they look beautiful in that picture, right? Smiling faces, not a care in the world. It's not like that. They need us. Tim and Hannah, they need us. They need us this week. They need us in an ongoing way. Let's hold the rope. You hold the rope. We together will hold the rope for these dear friends. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to partner with these called ones, these sent ones who are out there. I thank you for the rich heritage that we have of being a supporting and sending church, and I pray that that would continue. I thank you for all of us who are supporting missionaries in their work, and I pray that you would just continue to stir in our hearts so that we would continue to do that more and more. Your gospel is precious. The people who you have called in dark places who have not yet heard the gospel are precious. Our friends who are out there on the front lines are precious. And please, I pray that you would just empower us and invigorate us to support, to encourage. I pray that this coming week would be just a wonderful week, that as Tim and Hannah leave here, they won't really want to go because they'll have been so blessed by the people of East Lincoln. Help us to just pour out and overwhelm them with blessing this week. In Jesus' name, amen.